Ezekiel chapter 12. I want to read the first 11 verses of Ezekiel chapter 12. Hear God's word. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you live in the midst of the rebellious house, who have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, prepare for yourself baggage for exile and go into exile by day in their sight, even go into exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious house. Bring your baggage out by day in their sight as baggage for exile. Then you will go out at evening in their sight as those going into exile. Dig a hole through the wall in their sight and go out through it. Load the baggage on your shoulder in their sight and carry it out in the dark. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have set you as a sign to the house of Israel. I did so as I had been commanded. By day I brought out my baggage like the baggage of an exile. Then in the evening I dug through the wall with my hands. I went out in the dark and carried the baggage on my shoulder in their sight. In the morning the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, What are you doing? Say to them, Thus says the Lord, This burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem, as well as the house of Israel who are in it. Say, I am a sign to you. As I have done, so it will be done to them. They will go into exile, into captivity. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that you've been pleased to give it to us, and we pray now that as we take a look into it and see by your grace how this particular text connects to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we pray that you'd give us grace and understanding, and that you'd fill our hearts and confirm the good work of Jesus Christ in our hearts, that gospel work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When you purchase something on the internet, you like to receive a confirmation email from the company. And it's also helpful that another confirmation email follows, saying that the order is being processed. And then hopefully you get another little confirmation coming along saying the shipment is on the way. And that is a comfort to you, is it not, when you know that the order has been received, it's being processed, and now the goods are actually on the way. Those little confirmations are important. When we moved to Pittsburgh and bought a new home, got into our neighborhood, we received a little confirmation that this was the place that God wanted us. The neighbors were very kind, and my wife made good friends with our neighbors, and this was a very nice confirmation of the fact that we were in the right place at the right time. In our text today, Ezekiel is confirming by carrying out particular actions, confirming the words of Jeremiah the prophet. And as we look into this text, we'll find out that that's the reason that Ezekiel is in captivity carrying out these particular words or particular actions. And as we look at the Lord's Supper and carry out the actions in the Lord's Supper, what we find out is that Christ himself, through the Lord's Supper and the actions we are taking in the Lord's Supper, is confirming to our hearts his gospel truth. And that's the message that I want you to get this morning. That the Lord's Supper is a prophetic act. A prophetic act in which Christ confirms His gospel work in your hearts. And as we look at Ezekiel, I think you'll see that this lesson emerges. Ezekiel finds himself in captivity. And if you read verse 1 in our text, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you live in the midst of the rebellious house, who have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house." As I say, Ezekiel is already in captivity. And part of the history is this, that Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Jerusalem the first time in 605 B.C. And at that time, Daniel was taken captive. He was hauled off to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar had to lift his siege from Jerusalem at that time because his father, Nabopolassar, died, and Nebuchadnezzar had to go back to the capital to take control of the kingdom. And then a few years later, Nebuchadnezzar went over into the land of Palestine to lay siege against Jerusalem a second time. And the year was 597. This is the year that Ezekiel was taken captive. But Jerusalem still stood. And Jeremiah the prophet was prophesying in Jerusalem, saying that the ultimate demise of that great city would come. And as you know, the people of Jerusalem were scorning and scoffing because of the words of Jeremiah the prophet. And so God in His providence raises up Ezekiel over in Babylon now to confirm the words of Jeremiah the prophet. And so Jeremiah is prophesying over here in Jerusalem, and Ezekiel is prophesying over here in Babylon. And as I say, Ezekiel is confirming the words of Jeremiah. But the people in Babylon, they are following false prophets. And they do not think that the ultimate fall of Jerusalem will come, as it does later in 586 B.C. And so we read on in our text that God, in His providence, calls the prophet Ezekiel to carry out some extraordinary actions. Let's read on a little bit. Verse 3. "Therefore, son of man, prepare for yourself baggage for exile, and go into exile by day in their sight. Even go into exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious house. Bring your baggage out by day in their sight as baggage for exile. Then you will go out at evening in their sight as those who go into exile. Dig a hole through the wall in their sight and go through it. Load the baggage on your shoulder in their sight and carry it out in the dark. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have set you as a sign to the house of Israel." And Ezekiel says then in verse 7, "I did so, as I had been commanded. By day I brought out my baggage like baggage of an exile. Then in the evening I dug through the wall with my hands. I went out in the dark and carried the baggage on my shoulder in their sight." Quite an extraordinary scene as Ezekiel gathers all of his goods in command of God and packs them up as though he were going on a journey, as though he were not only going on a journey, but as though he were being forced on a journey. And in the sight of the people, he gathers up all of his goods. And then God says to him, dig a hole through the wall in the city, not with implements, but with your hands, as though you had to do it suddenly and without warning, as though you were being pursued. And so Ezekiel carries out those instructions. And some of this is to be done by night. If you are going to escape from someone who is coming after you, how would you do it? Probably not in broad daylight, but under the cover of darkness. And so it was in the case of Ezekiel. And so Ezekiel acts out, as it were, going into exile. It's a play of sorts. It's an acting out of God's commands. The prophecies had already been given with regard to the people in Jerusalem being forced into exile. But now, in a dramatic way, Ezekiel is confirming through these actions, which he is carrying out, the fact that the people will indeed go into exile. And I'm sure they did look upon Ezekiel with some wonder and amazement as he carried out this drama before their eyes. There is a sense, I would submit to you, that the Lord's Supper, as we play it out, and we will do so, the Lord willing, in a few moments, as we play it out, is a drama that unfolds before our eyes. And in this respect, I think it is like the drama played out by the prophet Ezekiel. And there is a very important word that appears in our text with regard to this drama. It is the word sign, as it's given to us in the New American Standard Version. I want to read on a little bit in the text now, verses 8 and following. In the morning, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, what are you doing? You can imagine that was the case. What are you up to, Ezekiel? What are you doing? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, this burden or this oracle, this word from God concerns the prince in Jerusalem as well as the house of Israel who are in it. This word I'm giving to you by acting it out is a word that concerns the prince, Zedekiah, the king, who is back in Jerusalem, and it concerns the people who are back there. Mark this, friends, says Ezekiel. And God says to Ezekiel further in verse 11, Say, Ezekiel, I am a sign to you. As I have done, so it will be done to them. They will go into exile, into captivity. And in verse 6, we see the similar word. God says to Ezekiel, load the baggage on your shoulder in their sight and carry it out in the dark. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have set you as a sign to the house of Israel. And the word sign here means a portent. I put that in the title to the sermon. It sometimes has a pejorative ring, but not necessarily in this case. It simply means an indication of something which is going to happen in the future. That is a portent, a prophecy. And what we are seeing is that these actions being carried out by Ezekiel are in themselves a prophecy. And the theologians call actions like this prophetic symbolism. The prophets carry out certain symbolic acts, And in this case, the symbolic act is the symbolism of going into exile. And this symbolism in itself, the prophecy says, the Word of God says, is an oracle, is a setting forth of the Word of God. And I think it's important for you to understand that this is the case. Because the Word of God does not come to you only orally, but it comes to you in these symbolic actions, in these symbolic acts. And what we see further with regard to these symbolic acts, if they are actually prophetic, as the Word of God indicates they are, we see that God Himself is in these prophetic acts to bring about what they portray. They are themselves a prophetic word. I'd like you to look at a couple of more texts in this same chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 12. Look with me, if you would, at verse 25. 12:25. For I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be performed. What word is being spoken? It is the word embodied in these actions which Ezekiel took, portraying exile, putting baggage on his back, going out through a hole in the wall in the darkness as if the Babylonians were actually coming after him. That is the word, these prophetic actions. Look at verse 28. Therefore I say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer. These words, not in voice only, not orally only, but in the actions which Ezekiel takes, in again putting the baggage on his back, digging a hole in the wall, crawling through that hole in the darkness as if he were being pursued. Those actions are the Word of God according to this text. A prophetic word, equal in stature with spoken words by Jeremiah and Ezekiel. I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, a familiar text along this same line. Because Isaiah, very conscious of the power of the Word of God and God speaking through him, gives us this word. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. So will my word which goes forth from my mouth, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's Word will always perform that which God Himself intends. And this Word in Ezekiel, a portrayal of going into exile, would surely come to pass because God Himself is in that Word to ensure that it will, in fact, come about. And that is part of the significance, it seems to me, of what we are seeing in this symbolic prophetic act. Now, I want you to see how this very specifically relates to the Lord's Supper by turning, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. Listen to the Apostle Paul speaking to you and me under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Do you hear those words? For as often as you eat this bread, and the "you" here is plural, as often as you, congregation, eat this bread together, and as often as you, plural, you, congregation, drink this cup, you, plural, congregation, what do you do in these actions which you take of eating the bread and drinking the cup? You proclaim the death of Jesus Christ. These symbolic actions, and we often speak of the Lord's Supper in these terms, do we not? In terms of the symbolism which is in the bread and the symbolism which is in the cup. And we do not as often speak of the symbolism involved in our eating the bread and doing that corporately, and the symbolism involved in our drinking the cup and our doing that corporately. These are symbolic acts. And if we understand Ezekiel properly and the Word of God properly, these symbolic acts are not simply symbolic acts, but they are prophetic symbolic acts. The question always comes to the fore, does it not? How is it that Jesus Christ is present in the Lord's Supper? Is that not always the nagging question? I think it is. And if we understand properly, it seems to me, that the Lord's Supper is not simply our engaging in symbolic acts, but the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in these symbolic acts. It is a form of the Word of God. And we understand that this is the case. We should understand that Christ is no less in the institution of the sacrament as we eat and drink together than Christ is present in the spoken word, which we so readily acknowledge is the case. They are on equal footing, I submit to you, as the Word of God. And they are on equal footing because of the institution of God and the command of God. And so we therefore read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are engaged in the preaching, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And so when you take that bread in your hands, you are caught up in the prophetic actions that amount to the proclamation of Christ. And when you take that cup in your hand, you are caught up in a prophetic act in which Christ is present, and in which He is present to accomplish the very things which this prophetic act symbolizes. And so I'm coming around full circle to what I said earlier, that the Lord's Supper is a prophetic act in which Jesus Christ confirms His gospel truth in your heart. What a wonderful thing that actually is. You see, the Lord's Supper is not a mere memorial. There is in the Lord's Supper the aspect of being a memorial. Do this in remembrance of me. But it is not a mere memorial. It is more than that. It is prophetic act in which Christ is present to confirm to your heart His gospel truth. The Lord's Supper is not, as the sacramentalists would say, an act in which if anyone eats of the bread, they automatically take on Christ simply because they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. No. There is that middle ground between the sacramentalist and the one who says it's a mere memorial. The Lord's Supper is a prophetic act in which Jesus Christ is present and confirms to your heart His gospel truth. The Lord's Supper is not a supper as the Lutherans would have it, where somehow, you see, Martin Luther, trying his best to explain the presence of Christ in the supper, it's somehow in, under, and around that bread, somehow. No. It has to do with the fact that the Lord's Supper is a prophetic act. It's a form of the Word of God in which Christ Himself is present to carry out that which is being symbolized to confirm to your heart and my heart His gospel truth. And so, my friends, I submit to you once again as you come to the Lord's Supper and you receive the bread, and you hold that bread, and then you eat of that bread. The Bible says you are engaged in preaching Christ, and in that preaching, Christ is present to confirm His gospel truth in your heart. And similarly, when you hold that cup and drink of the fruit of the vine, you are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christ is present in that preaching to confirm to your heart His gospel truth. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, a very simple thing in many ways, yet sometimes difficult for us to comprehend. Yet as we do come together to celebrate the sacrament, I pray that we'll remember these prophetic, symbolic acts of Ezekiel and how you tell us they are your word and you are in those acts to perform what is symbolized. In similar fashion, I pray that we all will realize this supper is not just a routine through which we go, but it is indeed a prophetic, symbolic act in which we as a company, not just me or someone else, but we as a company proclaim Christ. And we thank you that He is in His Word to perform it and to confirm to our hearts His gospel truth. Be pleased to do that as we are together today. We pray in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. Amen.